following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
And welcome to another edition of Corolla Classics, a Sunday edition bonus show. Are these even bonus shows anymore, G, if we're just going to do this every week?
Second show, I guess.
I like bonus. It just sounds
better. Sounds like you're getting some extra. But people really seem to love these Sunday morning releases because there's so few podcasts release early in the day on Sundays. And with Adam Carolla's show Monday through Friday, what better way to get more Carolla and stuff you missed, stuff you forgot about? I actually listened to this show because the clips are so hilarious. So I pick the clips, listen to the clips, then I listen to the full episodes and the clips. It's that funny to me.
I agree. And I like that we're cornering the Sunday market. All right. You know what? I forgot to introduce us. My name's Chris Loxamon, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, along with Carolla Archivist superfan Giovanni.
You know who we are.
So this first clip, Gio, from 2009. Let's just get right into it.
Adam Carolla Show, episode 200. Dr. Drew's returning to the show. He was the second guest on the show, been on many more times in between. In this clip from November of 2009, Adam and Drew discuss Adam's status as the number one receiver of oral sex based on a call. They're taking listener questions and they're answering them. They move on to their old college speaking tours and all the incompetent people they would encounter.
So, please enjoy the greatness that is Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew from 2009. Let's go.
Not being accurate and not telling the truth always causes more problems.
Yeah, you're right.
Not seeing reality
on reality's terms
always causes more problems. Thank you. DJ from Kansas City. DJ?
Nabatov.
Yeah, what's happening?
Well, Adam, we know that you're legendary for your ability to receive oral. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there's such thing as being bad at receiving oral.
I guess you could beat the girl about the head and shoulders or something. The shirt and faux pas.
Or is it a matter of the giver is just no good?
Well, I can tell you, as I've said, no one receives oral like me. I don't give it, but I receive better than anyone on the planet. If anyone wants to, challenge me on that, step outside.
But you don't want to actually anybody. Just you have to have the selection of your choice to be given. You just any guy can't take you on.
Well, I would say if he wants to challenge me in the receiving only department, I'll take him on. I'll take on all comers.
All right, you want him to be the one to challenge you? He'll do it.
No, he has to receive. It's who can receive the best.
Are you going to be the?
It's not who gives it.
I know what I'm saying. You better select that part. Well, We'll have a receive off.
That's all.
Somebody was saying, I love it. They were talking about how in porns these days, it was Lance Kroll.
I don't like when the guys talk too much.
Or he was talking about the, everybody thought, isn't that bad receiving?
Well, no, that's bad giving.
But isn't he the one forcing that?
It depends. Sometimes the chicks bring that on themselves. It depends how much skull palming is going on. But here's the whole thing. I don't, as long as we're talking about the porn, back off with the spitting and the gagging. I don't need the spitting and the gagging. And by the way, basically insult to injury. If dad ever comes across that porn, like not only is my daughter doing porn, but she's bad at blowing guys. Oh. Like that's a double edge. You know what I mean? That's insult to injury there. She's gagged. Come on. How many times have I worked on her gag reflex all through grade school? And that's just really disappointing. But anyway, the guy's barely hung. Come on. This is sad. I don't like all spitting. I don't like the gagging. But I don't need the guy talking. I don't need the whole... Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And by the way, I like when the guys, I like when they go, yeah, you love it, don't you? Like, tolerate is a push. You're essentially exerting 300 pounds of pressure on the back of my skull, trying to push your penis through the back of my neck. Yeah, you love it. Oh, you love it. Come on. I know, it's
so
horrible.
Awful.
It is so horrible. So anyway, I this is like the X Prize.
Huh?
The X Prize Whereas somebody put up, you know, $10 million and they said, can you get us to orbit the Earth's atmosphere and come back down safely and whatever? And it got done in 8 months.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Now, ironically, the guy who claimed the $10 million check spent $20 million building the thing. Come on. But this is how you get problems solved.
Yeah.
You don't just wait around for the government to do crap. You have some entrepreneur go, $10 million for the first guy who makes a car that goes, you know, gets more than 100 miles an hour, you know, miles per gallon, and does over 100 miles an hour, and it gets done.
Yeah.
I say that for receiving oral. Anybody thinks they can do it better than me? $10 million. Step up. Step up. I don't think anyone can do it. I get to judge.
Oh, yeah, you know, of course.
Of course. All right. So Dr. Drew is sitting in with us. That was DJ, or I should call him BJ.
No, DJ. Well, BJ, he did prompt the BJ conversation.
BJ from Kansas City. Dr. Drew and I were in Kansas City once.
Yes. Oh, there's another call from Seattle.
Remember that?
Oh, VIP tickets for the Brawl Brian event.
Yeah. We'll talk about being in Kansas City in a second. Joel?
Hey.
What's happening, Joel?
Not much. How are you, Adam and Dr. Drew?
Doing well.
So I'm calling up from up here in Seattle, and yes, we're literally underwater up here, as you pointed out in the movie The Hammer, which is a great movie, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And by the way, it does not rain that much in Seattle. Every time I'm up there, it's blustery and beautiful. And people, I think you make a lot of the rain up there, so us from Southern California will stay out of there and stop moving up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. And I like the weather up here. It's not bad, but we literally get shit on by salmon up here instead of birds.
Wow. Flying salmon. Hey, can I ask you this, Joel?
Sure.
Do they allow leaf blowers there?
It's too wet. It's too wet for leaf blowers.
I don't feel like I hear it's
they're
nonstop
only in Southern
leaf
California.
Blowers.
It's only Southern California. Everyone else uses a rake.
Yes.
Or they just leave leaves where they fall and leave them as a mulch for the soil.
Hey, Joel.
You know when they allow leaf blowers?
Hmm.
They allow them outside your window while you're trying to be on a date with
a girl. Talk about get things done. Adam. Is that your name? What's your name?
Joel.
Joel.
Yeah.
You're from Southern California.
No. Oh, me?
He. Joel's from Southern California.
Oh, he is.
Are you?
So he's from Seattle.
He's in Seattle now, but he's lived in Southern California.
No, I'm from Seattle. I was born up here and raised up here. So.
True.
How's it know what the effing leaf blower over is?
You scare me as a doctor.
Yeah, whatever.
Joel, your question is, you want to know about the VIP tickets for Bald Brian's event?
Yeah, you know, being up here in Seattle, I've kind of passed off the idea of going to this last for Bald Brian benefit, but I've actually kind of found a way that I can probably get down to L.A. on that Friday. So now I'm thinking about it. It might be a little too late because I think the VIP, and if I'm going to come all the way down there, you know, I want to go big. So I'm afraid from what I found on the website this morning is that the VIP might all be sold out.
VIP has been sold out for a number of weeks, really. Sold out quickly. $300 a ticket. Talk about
That's
people's
crazy.
Generosity and how good my podcast listeners are. I'm telling you, my agent said you'll never sell this thing out. It's too big a venue. You're charging too much for tickets, $100 for general admission, $300. He said you should be charging like $25 and $40 for VIP and
Has he apologized?
Not a fan, evidently. No one ever, in this town, no one ever apologized for being wrong. They're wrong all the fucking time. And yes, if you guys had it your way, Bald Brian would have. He'd be light $100,000 in his pocket if we listened to you experts. A lot of experts in this town that are wrong a lot and never, ever, ever take fucking credit for being wrong. They take credit for being right.
They don't lose their job. They
never
apologize.
Lose a job, and they never fucking apologize. I mean, listen, and you know what? But to be fair, my agent bought 10 tickets.
Well, that's nice.
Yes. And as far as I know, he gave me 3 pair to give away.
Really?
And that's all I got. They're not VIPs. I don't think they're VIPs. And I can work something out with you, though, where if you're going to come down, what do you want? You want 2 tickets?
2 tickets would be great. I was planning so far just to come down by myself.
Wow. How lonely.
Hey, I got a deal for you, though.
Hey, but listen. I don't know if I want some weirdo from Seattle coming down, you know, lone wolf.
With a deal for you.
With a deal for me. Yeah, here's the deal.
Right, 2 tickets then.
Puts a shank in my ribs in the alley and then rapes me. That's the deal.
I can't promise I'm not a weirdo, but yeah, 2 tickets if that seems less weird.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want you and your ventriloquist dummy coming either. Hey, have you met Sean? He's a huge fan.
Here's what I was wondering, though. So is it because of the seat availability that VIP sold out, or the VIP room access is actually too small for one extra guy?
Well,
let him come by the podcast. You get manpower.
Are you
here, at least.
Kidding? No. No, I'd rather do in a crowd. Listen, he'll like shoot Joel McHale and you, and I'll be under a table.
All right, I'll bring him in the VIP room.
All right, Joel, listen, we'll put you on hold. We'll get you out there, and I'll figure out a way to get you into the VIP
section. What if I bought three tickets and just presented three tickets, sat up in the nosebleeds, and then just got to hang out with you guys in VIP?
I'll work it out. We'll put you on hold. So give someone
Kansas
your email.
City.
We'll do it.
Kansas City. We'll do it. You and I took a nice tour of Kansas City.
Yes.
Yes.
Drew and I would do college tours, and we did a lot of dates. And there was never, in my estimation, an issue with the actual venue or date itself in terms of the room, the mics, and the people that were there. Sometimes we could never get a pot of coffee. We had one thing on our rider that basically said, have a pot of coffee waiting for us when we show up at the event because we'll be tired. And that was a coin toss, maybe a little less than 50%. But Kansas City, I remember very specifically, because, as you know, I only remember the good things. I don't remember any compliments or any happy moments or anything. I remember the bad things, yes, I should say. Only the miserable days. And KC was great for us because we got picked up at the airport by a chick and her friend.
In somebody else's car, I think.
Someone else's Pathfinder.
Yes.
Maybe a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And
boyfriend's Pathfinder. That's what
beat
it was.
Up Pathfinder.
Yeah. We took us on the freeway.
Not roadworthy.
Freeway from the airport to Kansas City on the Missouri side, or on the Kansas side, and we got lost.
Well, we got into her car.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, this is our management's fault, as much as you probably like to argue with me. Really, I'll say what I will about my agent. He would have demanded a town car and a professional driver, which we should have demanded from the word go, because we would have kids come and pick us up. And these were a couple of ditzy broads. Well, her and her friend. I think her friend just wanted to meet Adam and Dr. Drew from Loveline. And then there was her, and she was driving a car that she borrowed that was, when I say not roadworthy, I mean when we got up to 60, it would start shimmying and drifting out of the lane.
That is no hyperbole. The front end was jumping
like
and drifting.
Full tires need alignment.
Yeah, but he leaned over to me as we were going from the airport to downtown and said, roadworthy car, circa 50 miles an hour. And I thought, yeah, barely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, dropped us off the hotel.
No.
Picked us back up in that car again.
No. Leaned back to us and said, you all know where the hotel is?
Right.
Asked
right,
us right. where the hotel was.
Yeah.
Asked us. Well, you know, both born and bred in KC. Now there's the Hyatt downtown, and then there's the Hyatt Missouri, and then there's the Airport Hyatt. And I believe we're at the Hyatt downtown, which is on the corner of Crescent and Fifth Avenue. Bob will be the valet if memory serves, but pull around back because there's an entrance. We'll go in through the kitchen and we'll go right up there. What the fuck? I don't know where the fucking hotel is, you crazy bitch. What do you mean? No, I know where the fucking hotel is. I don't know the name of the hotel.
Yeah.
Do you guys know where the hotel is?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
I remember that. Yeah.
So she's like, oh, I'll call my boyfriend or something. So she called her boyfriend. And again, it wasn't her car. And then I was like, wow, this car is scary. And then we went to the hotel. I don't know, took a shower. Yeah. And she picked us up in like 2 hours.
Same car.
A little bit late.
Late.
Went
yes.
out to eat.
She went shopping.
Shopping. Shopping. That was a good one. The good one, too, is we were like, she said, like, I'll see you in the lobby. I said, we're like, what time's the gig? 8 o'clock. Okay, so what time should we get there? 7:30.
No, it was a good hour drive before we're going.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I'm saying. Yeah. So what? How far away is it? Well, it's an hour. Yeah. It's an hour. All right. Well, pick us up in the lobby at 6:30.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, it was a good hour out of town from where we were, and we said we'll see you in the lobby at 6:30, and somewhere around 6:45, she wasn't there yet, and then when she did show up, she said, "Oh, sorry, I'd been shopping." People don't even know how to fucking make excuses. And by the way, ladies, that's why you get paid less. Because a guy would have said, oh, First, you know what a guy would have done? He would have ran in a circle until he broke a sweat, and then jumped in and went like, oh, jeez, I just had to change the spare, man. I had to change the tire. I got a flat tire. Sorry, but 15 minutes late, you know, we'll make it up on the way. But no guy you know would have went, hey, I was shopping. And by the way, when the guy showed up 20 minutes late and didn't say a word, and I said, hey, buddy, why were you late? He wouldn't have gone shopping. He would have gone, I was attacked. Yeah. They're wearing masks.
Now we're behind. She has to speed in the road unsafe car.
Yes.
It was a most unsafe.
We're doing 85, yeah. And the thing is like shimmying,
jumping,
and swimming.
Like jumping up and down.
And she's lost
again.
Once again.
Again.
Cannot find...
It's all right. We had about 3,500 people in a big stadium waiting for us. It's all right. No big deal. We were half hour late when we got there.
Couldn't find the venue. Didn't know. And by the way, I would like to blame her, but it's sort of like blaming the dog when he bites the mailman.
Wait.
Blame the owner.
Yeah.
I don't know who the idiots who dispatched the world's dumbest chick who has no form of transportation to pick us up from the airport, who doesn't know where the hotel is, although did find out it was by an outlet mall at some point, and then doesn't know how to get from the hotel to the guy. Like, who's her fucking boss?
But, you know, even now I do those college gigs, and I specify every molecule of what has to happen, because I know, I've been through this so many times, it still doesn't happen. It's still crazy how much they
it'll
try.
Never, yeah.
It's never right. And I'm so clear, so specific with every little thing, you know.
I'm going to write a book, Drew. Tell me what you think. I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to call it I Had No Idea Adults Were Going to Be So Stupid. Like, when I was a kid, I just thought adults were smart. I saw all adults. Like, I thought my
capable.
Dad's friends,
yeah.
Like, they were at least like adults.
Yeah.
Like, they get dressed, put a tie
right.
on, they can start the car, they
right.
go to work, you know, they do business things, they draft up papers and sign things. Like, it was very like, this guy, every guy in the world's Larry Tate from Bewitched. You know, they're all like capable. I had no idea as an adult how disappointing it was going to be to run into so many adults that were fucking horrible at their jobs. Didn't give a shit, didn't know any better, and I'll take it to a next level. Out here in Hollywood, super high paid, super well compensated, been doing this for 30 years, fucking stupid adults.
Yeah.
Man, this town is littered with guys wearing really nice sport coats who've been doing shit for 30 years, who have a long fucking pedigree, who are fucking semi-retarded at what they do, who are horrible at what they do.
It's funny, this college thing, I went a couple weeks ago, and there was things not as I'd specified. I mean, I went over it with them before I went up there.
Wow.
And I went. Didn't you read the requirements? Yeah, I read them. Well,
yeah.
The part about the coffee and the you didn't read that? Oh yeah, I read it.
This
like
didn't do
it's,
it.
It's an yeah, FU.
Same
it's
thing.
Like,
no, listen.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
I want to know your version of when Adam was supposed to be driven to the airport and you guys missed your plane.
Yeah.
Oh no, Adam told that story.
Adam's version.
No, no, that's the real.
You can tell your version of it. But by the way,
two
episodes. To put a cap on this one, we were late to the gig
in Kansas.
And let's not forget. Coming back from the gig,
the ribs.
We got lost again.
No. We asked.
Oh, no.
Take us to a rib place. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they
we
took
were
us
starving.
To like a. They took us to a. We went. Hey, to Kansas City. Show us some ribs. We want to see what some ribs are like.
We
here.
Went to their equivalent of a Popeyes or KFC.
Yes.
That's
like, yes, we did.
Like
and got lost.
We went to their chain,
yes.
But we did get lost.
And
for
we got lost.
45
yeah.
minutes on the way home.
Well, we thought they were taking us to somewhere special. They were taking us
like
to
like a local joint.
To a Waffle House.
They took us to the equivalent of an IHOP.
Yeah.
We're like, we want some of your savory Kansas City ribs that we've been hearing about our whole time. We want some barbecue. And they took us to like a drive-thru. It was a horrible,
horrible
barbecue.
With
and
the pictures, with the money, with the dollar amount by the picture.
Bitch right? got lost again on the way back.
But we got to talk for a couple more minutes. We're going to go beyond the usual. I hope we can. But there was a thing we had in Northern Iowa, which, by the way, I was just at a school right next to Northern Iowa. I guess it was some Illinois school. I don't know where I was. And we were talking about that experience where the guy had to, again, we were in the back of a hatchback where people thought we were doing like a joke of something film for a punked episode. The guy took us after the event, he's going to take us to dinner, and he had to change from his he was in jeans, and he had to change into something worthy of dinner. He turned from his green jeans to his black jeans. While we sat in the freezing cold in a hatchback filled with laundry, while some sorority kids come up to him and goes, hey, it's Adam and Drew, what are you guys doing here? What's going on?
That,
remember this?
That, No. I don't think that was Northern Iowa or Iowa. What is the school that's in Memphis or in Tennessee? Did we go to school in Memphis or Tennessee? Where's Dartmouth?
Vanderbilt. We went to Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
This is not Vanderbilt. No. Because
I remember we did one school, and then that Indian chick drove us.
Oh yeah, that was
to the next chick.
That was Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt. She, by the way, picked us up and was driving us to our next gig, but had to swing by her work.
Oh no, that was Drake.
That was Drake.
Drake, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Drake?
She said, "I got to stop by my work." She literally, we're like on the highway. She picked us up at...
It was Drake. That's what the track meet
is. We ended up at Drake, yeah.
We started Drake, and then we were going to somewhere else.
Vanderbilt or wherever. She picked us up, and while we're going down the freeway...
Got to pull into Des Moines.
We got to go into Des Moines for a second. We had a two-hour drive, and it was as if she was just driving through downtown on the 10 and then started to get off the freeway, and you're like, where are we going? I got to swing by a commercial building, like a 30-story building. A
federal building or something.
We had to wait in the street.
And you had to pee.
I had to piss, but I couldn't get into the building. She's like, yeah, I can't. We have a security situation. So we sat in the car. Well, she went up to pick up some shit from work. Came back down. By the way, she went shopping, too, and was late.
Oh, right.
She went shopping,
that morning, right? We were waiting for the hotel forever.
She was late. Right. Then swing by her place.
Drew, didn't Adam give her a, hey, we got to get going?
I didn't know where we never knew where we were going.
We were so checked out. We didn't really understand what we were. That was like the fourth college we'd ever
done.
Then
the other question is, Adam puts his demands like, hey, we need some coffee in here. We need a security guard. Like, how did you let this keep repeating itself?
It didn't. It got to the point where he would go, all right, if I get there and there's no coffee and security, I'm getting on the plane and going back. And that's it. And it came close a couple times, too.
Remember Jenny Craig?
Jenny Craig.
Oh, I mean Jenny Jones. Or think about food.
Oh, yeah. Well, this has to tie into the plane that didn't show. Wasn't that same?
Jenny Jones. They promised us both a first class ticket, right?
Yeah. We're standing there. He's late a little bit, but we're waiting to get
late.
A little bit because I remember I was supposed to go on and no first class seat. And Adam goes, "Awesome, going home."
And I just turn around, LAX. I start walking for the door. Should have stayed there. Should have kept walking.
But now there was the time when you got some girl from Loveline to pick you up at the bottom of the stairs. Is this the story you're talking about?
Yes,
no, he tells the story as it happened. That's how it happened.
No. Listen,
I'd like to hear Donnie's version.
Well, my version is that
because Drew must have been nervous, like, oh my god, what the Adam?
Oh, I was on the plane. I was on the plane, and I left my coat on the plane or something, didn't I? Is that the day I left the coat?
Your wife had got you a camel hair, long duster. Like,
I still wear that coat.
The most expensive coat you can buy.
Left it on the plane, got off to find out where the hell Adam was.
You better tell before. You better go back.
This is my version of what happened to me on that day, though. I got off the plane because it's like, hey, we're closing the doors. I'm like, well, you can't. I got to get my partner. I get off the plane. They do close the doors. Adam shows up seconds later, and we sat there in the window looking at the captain for 30 minutes, going, arguing with the girl at the gate, like, look, come
on. Close the door.
Door shut. And by the way, it wasn't even departure time yet. It was just policy 10 minutes before or 20 minutes before or something. They shut the
door. Whatever it was, it was one of these situations where we were heading to Florida.
Yes.
We're doing the University of Florida. Gators. I think we did the Gators. There were 8,000 people.
It was by far the biggest event we'd ever done.
We didn't know it. We never knew if we're going to show up and there are going to be 500 people in someone's living room, although it was always usually 3,000 people. But we never knew if it was going to be 3,000 people, or in this case, it was a basketball arena, and there was 8,500 people in there. So it would have been funnier if we missed that. But they did the thing where it was a 7:05 flight or whatever out of LAX, and they would not let me on the plane.
And it was one of the, Adam. So we're talking to this. I killed myself getting that.
Yeah,
he runs up. The plane's sitting there. We're waving at the captain. He's waving back at us, and the chick's there. We're like, let us on. And she goes, "Well, policy." And Adam's like, It's my policy that I go on the plane. That's my policy. So here's the policy. I get on that plane. That's the policy. Yeah. I mean, to the point where the woman, this went on for a good 10 minutes. I could see the woman like calling security over and stuff after a while.
Well, the plane was never leaving.
Well, the part that freaks Adam out is like, yeah, Adam is pure logic. The plane's still there.
Plane's there. We can talk to the captain through the mirror, through the window.
You're He's not going to let me on? No. The plane's right here?
Yeah.
And then, we but shut the door.
And then it goes to policy. You know, but the policy is, no, you don't get on. Well, Adam goes, well, okay, well, the policy needs to change. Here's my policy. I got on the plane.
Yeah. So, now, I told her I want to talk to the guy from the commercial.
That's right.
Remember that? She was confused.
Yes.
I was in a fugue state, and I was saying, because I'd literally been running for the last hour and a half. Like,
this is the girl that left you at the stairs, right?
I chugged down the stairs. Yeah. I chugged up the stairs. The stairs are novelty stairs.
You until like you were at the radio station, you asked somebody.
What is this?
I'll blow through it.
It's a long story.
Drew wouldn't pick me up at home unless I went home with him or went to his house. He had to make the rounds.
Oh, I do the hospital morning. Yeah.
5 in the morning at the hospital.
Right.
So I announced that I was not driving myself to LAX and leaving my car in like long term storage over there.
This girl too. She's got to be here in Los Angeles.
I hope she died of ovarian cancer.
Oh, nice.
I really do.
Nice.
So I hope that she doesn't respond to this. Because she's in the ground, but I said, look, here's the deal. I want a chick because, you know, first off, when you're recognized around the world as being the number one receiver of oral sex, you don't want to be seen with a dude
not riding
in an SUV going to the airport, you know. But I didn't want some weirdo dude, and I want a chick, and I want her to have a fairly newish car that I knew wasn't going to break down. Learn my lesson from doing these college gigs. And then as I started to think about it, and here's where the real mistake came. I didn't feel like giving this sycophant my home address.
Yeah. And to be fair, your home was up the hill, and you were going to meet her at a Landmark, which was like the gates to Hollywood Land or something.
Yeah, when I was living over there. Yeah. So But to get to the airport before 7 a.m., we had to leave at 5:30 in the morning. Like, it was dark outside, and it was drizzling, hence you were wearing the big overcoat, and it was the winter, and these stairs were like the kind of stairs that the guys who are personal trainers take their victims to, you know, run these stairs and drink some water, you know, people panting at the top, like, that's steep and wet, by the
way,
long and dark, and I'm wearing, you know, a leather coat with a sweater under it, and I've got, you know, we're going out for a week, like, I got weeks worth of shit and two bags, chug down the stairs, she never shows up. Start going around the corner, but like, I'm dragging so much luggage that so I'm having this weird sort of argument with myself, which is I should leave my bags by the stairs and then sprint like up to the market around the corner to see if she's waiting at the stop sign or in the parking lot or she got confused, or then turn the corner, go the other way and sprint up to the next stop sign to see if I can. But should I leave my luggage on the corner? Like, not on the corner, just on the sidewalk in the street? What if someone drives by and thinks there's a bomb in it or something like that? So I literally just leave my luggage and start chugging. I'm now doing that thing what you do when you sweat under your sweater and your jacket. I'm in my own filth now. And by the way, at like 6:08, she ain't coming.
Right.
And
sun's coming up now.
Pack up my luggage and I start chugging up those stairs. And it's just like adrenaline that's taking it. It's like raining outside. I'm going, the stairs are dark and they're novelty steep. And I'm just chugging up to them. I get to the top. Throw the junk in the back of my car and just haul ass for the airport. So when I got to the airport, I literally dropped my car off at the Wally Park and just I'm literally chugging with my bag. So when I got to the counter, I was like, oh! And I remember my first thought was, there's Dr. Drew standing by the counter, and there's the airplane. Ah. Thank Christ I've made it. Good. Here's my ticket. We're getting onto the plane. Drew, wait till you hear this story.
Yeah, it's literally what you did.
Then she's like, you're not getting on this plane.
Not this plane, sir.
And then I was like, what? It's still here, but I was expecting to look up and see it start being pulled out of the slip.
Yeah.
And nope. there. And somewhere as we were arguing, and somewhere around minute 8 of the argument, I looked to my left and see the plane is still parked there, not started.
I remember she closed that whole ticket booth down, and we still stood there and looked at the plane.
Yeah.
Remember? We were standing like, what the F?
Now, at a certain point, I don't know if you remember this part, but you started yelling at me. At a certain point, you got your hostility had been turned toward me.
Oh, yeah, could be.
And I was, because your jacket was now locked on the plane.
And where the F were you? And why'd you have to do that?
Your wife got you a $2,000 jacket. It was locked on the plane. And they got, and where was I? And why wasn't I here? And you had to get off the plane. And, and this is all pre 9/11, by the way.
Oh, long before. This, right? 5 years before. Or something?
This is a good four or 5 years before 9/11.
Yeah, they kept it the other end. I did get it. That's exactly. That's like us standing by the plane.
We're looking at a picture of us just staring at a huge
precisely
jumbo
the picture.
Jet.
I swear to God, that's exactly what we were standing in front of for 20 minutes. Yeah. After we finished arguing with this lady about us being allowed on the plane.
Again, this just speaks to attorneys and watchdog groups and things like that. They shut the door. If they reopen the door, it'll screw up their on time, whatever. Once the door is shut, even if you sit on the tarmac for 2 hours, it's still on time. They left on time. And by the way, it should be when you pull out, not when you shut the door.
When you take off.
Or when you take off is when it should be. There was another one where we were on an airplane. Remember when the hatch was open? Another technicality, when the hatch wouldn't stay shut on the overhead storage thing.
Yes.
And I said, get the duct tape.
Yes.
That was another one of those technicalities. Again, you can thank all the lawyers.
On the other hand, we stepped onto a turboprop with fire coming out of its engine, wouldn't start up. They're like, hey, we'll get it going. Some guy got up on the plane and banged on the engine, and it started up. Like, all right, ready to go now. Remember that?
Oh, you're forgetting three major components to that story. Three major.
I remember one. It was that same flight later, right? With Jose Canseco.
Same flight.
Okay.
Same
flight. I guess I'll tell that part. I remember that part vividly.
We were leaving Cincinnati and going
to Alabama or something. We're going south.
Alabama.
On a turboprop, seating 20.
Well, it's always that sort of thing. We all experience it at the airport where, like, you see the 777 in the distance. And you're like, oh, please let that be.
Yeah.
And then you see the little minnow over to the side. And you're like, oh, no, not the thing with the props on it. This was. It was a 25 seat turboprop plane. Now, couple elements here. We were running late. They were running late. The flight was running late.
Yeah.
And there was a storm moving in.
I remember the storm moving
in. So the whole thing was, the first thing was, we got to get going because there was a thunderstorm moving in over Alabama.
You could see it coming in.
But they also said,
at the other end there was something,
the other end, there's a storm forming, an electrical storm. And we got, maybe we can fly around it, but we got to leave now. So the problem was, is when we started to leave now, the problem was, is there was smoke coming out of one of the engines.
Literally.
On the ground.
And the engine was going,
big plumes of smoke. So I was like, okay.
We're getting off.
Well, we're getting off this plane, but they're like, no, we're going to fix
it.
But we got to hurry because the storm is brewing. The storm's coming in, and you can see it coming in. And so the guy comes out, and he literally starts banging on the engine. I mean, he doesn't pull out any tools or anything. And then, here's another thing you're forgetting.
Yeah.
They pipe up with this one. We're overweight.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's gonna have to volunteer
to
a bag. No, they said we'll pull some luggage off.
Yeah.
We'll send, we're a couple hundred pounds overweight for takeoff and landing, whatever. So we need to pull baggage out of this fucking plane. And I remember it very clearly because they said, look, either somebody's gonna have to volunteer and say, remove my bags and we'll give you a voucher
for a
cocktail, or we're just gonna open the hatch and pull shit out. Yeah. And it's funny, we had a lot of gamblers because everyone was like, let it ride. There's 25 people on this plane and I got a 1 in 25 chance it ain't gonna be me. I'll take the odds. So they just randomly but they announced we're overweight.
Yep.
Then there was smoke billowing out of the engine, the left side engine.
Left
that was the side we're sitting on.
They banged it.
There wasn't a side, it was all the fucking left side. And they're banging on it, and they fired up again. It's just big plume of smoke came out the second time.
And Adam goes, I don't know of any mechanical interventions that include just banging on an engine that it satisfactorily changes.
Like an Amco commercial with the monkey in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that was it. And at a certain point, I'm not a pilot, but it seemed to me that they just went like, fuck it, we're going.
We're doing this.
We're going, yeah, because the storm is brewing.
Things kind of spinning now. The propeller's going.
The engine seems to be working. It blew out a little carbon.
And you guys couldn't get off? Or was it policy? Or you didn't want to get off?
You're sort of stunned, you know? You're sort
of first off, there is a weird mob mentality, yeah. And not in a good way. But I just mean, you don't want to be in a bunch of people.
You don't want to be that runs off the plane. No, let me out of here.
Yeah, you don't want to be the weirdo. Also, you're recognizable. People, hey, there's Drew. Hey, there's the guys from MTV. Also, we're going to a gig.
We got
to
get there.
Like, we got to get to the gig. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's Buddy Holly time here. Yeah. He's leaving a gig. But either way, we got something to go to.
Yeah.
And there is that sort of practical side, like, hey, we're not going to get paid. Yeah, we're going to have an auditorium full of disappointed kids, blah, blah, blah. And
so here's the clincher, though. This is when it really, the clincher, what comes next. So we're flying. We make it, and we're flying through a storm.
We're not flying.
When the guy has the paper open?
No. We're starting to take off.
Okay, all right.
And I'm sitting there. I've told the story before, and I'll try not to drag it out any longer. But I'm sitting there in the plane, and I'm a nervous flyer. I was back then. Because I went 0 to 30 without ever being on an airplane. Yeah. There is a part of flying that's just, I've been through it, been done that. If you went, you know, if you were normal and you had relatives on the East Coast and as a kid you went back and forth a few times, you get indoctrinated into it. When you're 30, I was like a superstitious native on the plane. Like, I couldn't figure out how
Well, mostly you're just like an alcoholic on a plane.
Well, I turned into an alcoholic, yeah. Should sue American Airlines for being a gateway stepping stone to my alcoholism. But I just numbed myself with booze. But there was no fucking booze on this flight because there was no place to push a cart with booze on. There was no anything. So I was sitting there and I was like, look, we're overweight. We know there's a storm coming in.
The engine's not working.
I know there's smoke coming from the left side engine. I don't know how God works, but God doesn't pluck you up by the scruff of the neck like a cat carrying its cub.
Yeah.
God gives you clues and signals, and at that point, it's either your job to pick up on it or you're going down in a fiery ball with the rest of the people that weren't smart enough to pick up on this thing. And I just sat there thinking, I really want to get off this flight. Like, I just want to get off of it. I don't feel good about it. And the person in front of me opened a newspaper.
Spread it out, like wide open.
Spread it out.
And Adam starts just hammering me in the ribs. He's literally like taking his elbow going, I'm like, what the hell? He's like pointing at the paper. And then he goes, Roberto Clemente.
Full page ad. I swear to God.
It was an expose, a giant discussion.
It was an ad. No.
It was an ad.
If you look on a computer, this was probably, 98, 99?
98, probably. Yeah.
98. I guarantee you that the Roberto Clemente story came out on like HBO or Showtime or one of those things in like 1998 and a half or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a like mini series or one of those like, I don't know, HBO,
everything.
Just like, here we go. It's the story of the guy who died in an airplane crash. Cut down in his prime because he's flying back to Cuba or something to drop off early on a turbo on the probably the same plane, and he died in a plane crash. So when I saw the person in front of me who had no idea what was going on, of course, because that's going to be one of my chapters and why I didn't know adults were going to be so stupid. But just opened it up, and there was a full page ad of the. I saw that, and I thought to myself, look. This is as much as God ever gives you in the message department. It's time to get off of this plane.
He's right about that. We just take off.
So I'm just saying, like it would have been like a scene from a movie. Because I took the Roberto Clemente thing. I'm not a superstitious person. I'm not a spiritual person or a religious person. I took the Roberto Clemente thing to mean, get out.
You would talk about nothing else for another hour.
That was a crazy thing.
For an hour, Roberto Clemente. Did you see Roberto Clemente? They're telling us Roberto Clemente, for God's sake.
I think I waited until we landed before I got. That was probably in the car because I was scared to speak his name. But I swear to God. Find Donnie. Find the goddamn special. I don't know. Donnie, by the way, has never heard of Roberto Clemente, so he's educating himself on the pirate. Great. Find the HBO or Showtime 98 special. I got to figure out what year that came down the pike, because it must have been coming out that weekend on whatever network it was coming out on. But the point is like a comedy, if you would have panned across all the passengers, like done that thing where you put the camera in the front, just pan, you would have seen people reading, people talking. There would have been me, you know, nails dug into the upholstery on that flight. And by the way, the whole flight, of course, we were delayed an hour because of the engine. Of course, the storm did come in.
It was a horrible flight.
And it was bumpy and lightning strikes and
all
that.
I was
just staring at Roberto Clemente's face the entire time. All right, Donnie, find that baby. It's going to drive me insane.
Oh, good times, huh?
Oh, Drew.
Times we've shared.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
All right.
And we're back. Gio, I don't even know what to say about this next clip. It was so bizarre. Back in 2014, Tom Sizemore was the guest on the show, along with Alison Rosen and Brian Bishop in studio, and we would bring him in halfway through the show. But he was taking so long in the bathroom. I didn't know what was going on. He was a little erratic, but he finally comes into the studio covered in baby powder.
Where'd he get the baby powder?
I don't know. We don't have baby powder, but he was covered in baby powder.
I remember writing the Superfan sidebar for this episode as I was listening to it in real time. It definitely competes for one of the most awkward moments in Adam Carolla show history. And then it goes on to be a pretty interesting segment. He talks about his new movie at the time and how it relates to his family and his personal life. And then they talk about downtown Detroit, and there's some really funny stuff that comes up between Adam and Tom Sizemore. Check it out.
Ventura. We're coming back. The Adam Carolla Show is a live podcast at the Ventura Crown Plaza Hotel as part of the Ventura Comedy Festival. Wednesday, September 24th, tickets will go fast. Get yours now at adamcarolla.com.
Tom Sizemore, I think, is in the bathroom.
I believe so, yes.
But he should be coming in here any second. I'm on a crazy schedule, so we just fired up the show, and he can just walk in and sit down when he's ready.
Well, I am too, because right after this, I'm going to the Facts of Life reunion at the Paley Center. Can you believe such a thing that's so perfect for me exists? And get this, I missed the window to buy a ticket, and it was all sold out, so I tweeted about it, and this is all via Twitter. That's how I got my ticket. A fan!
Get the fuck out of here.
There's many levels of it. A fan contacted the publicist on my behalf trying to get me a ticket, but they could only get me into the building, not into the lobby or something. But then today I got a tweet from someone who had an extra ticket. It's like a blind date.
I'll tell you who's not going to be there. Molly Ringwald.
I don't think she's going to be there.
But who is going to be there?
Blair, Joe, Nat, and Toot. And
big is this venue?
I don't know. It's the Paley Center. I've never actually been there. Has anyone here been there?
The Paley Center. Where is it?
It's in Beverly Hills. The Paley Center. It's like the Paley Center for media and arts, and there's one in New York as well.
Part of me was hoping you were mispronouncing Paley Pavilion.
No, that's too big a venue. And they just sit around and talk about, like, I remember when Mrs. Garrett first decided to open the
Edna's
candy
Edibles?
Store or Edna's Edibles, and we were against it. Like, how?
They all bring their resumes.
How does that work?
Well, they're not in character. I don't actually know. I imagine there's a moderator. I'm surprised that they didn't consult me for the gig. Mm. They do a lot of, you know, TV and film programming at the Paley Center.
Oh.
Weren't you interviewed for something?
Hold the phone. Is this in the television and radio, whatever?
I think
museum
probably.
Is that in Beverly Hills?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think I did a live broadcast from there, was interviewed from there, whatever it is. So it's within the museum.
Yeah.
There is a smallish, I think, room where one could do a live broadcast or be interviewed up on stage or something.
I hope it's not so small that it's going to be clear when I walk in late.
Something like that. Well, be prepared to not like what you see.
Why?
because you're going to walk into this room and probably hate all the other people in the room and then realize you have a kinship.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Like when you go to an audition and you realize, oh, that's the type you are?
Yeah, like they wanted the fat one, or they wanted the old one, or they wanted the, well, not you, but what I'm saying is you kind of get an idea of who's sitting reading the sides with you of what they thought of you.
Yeah. So, like super sexy, raven-haired vixen. Someone's right. Like, oh, that's what I am.
As I said, I went to a taping of Facts of Life. And I went probably in 1980 or something.
Do you remember what the episode was?
Or I remember it very clearly. It's the one where there was a flood.
Oh, right. Yes.
And the hunky Army Reserve guy showed up, and he was going to carry Blair on the horse, and everyone loved him. And he rode the horse like into the sorority dorm or whatever, wherever they kept themselves, and that was the big deal. It was a radio thing, and Molly
Natalie
Ringwald
and Tootie
was,
were worried about what was going to happen to the animals, because they had animals at Eastland at this time.
Yeah, Tootie was worried about her hair mainly, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah, who was going to go to the barn and save the animals?
Right.
And that's, I don't remember when they got rid of the principal.
Well, there was Mr.
Parker. Headmaster, whatever it was.
There were two different ones, Mr. Parker and I forget the name of the one on that episode. I don't think it was Mr. Parker. But yeah, eventually they did sort of phase him out. Well, eventually they got away from even being at Eastland.
That's a weird little lot in life. It doesn't happen anymore today because everything's so fractured off and there's so many shows that nobody cares and nobody knows and all that kind of stuff. But for that little window where you're playing the principal at whatever high school for whatever Facts of Life or whatever the fucking, who's the Saved by the Bell or whatever it is, you do three or four seasons and then you become that guy. And then
Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell, that guy is around and still is that guy.
You can't go see a Jimmy Buffett concert and toke on a joint, though, because you're that guy. You're always that guy.
Right.
Like, I don't think we can do that anymore. There's way too many channels and way too many TV shows. We can never have another, hey, it's Gilligan, or hey, it's the doctor from The Love Boat, or hey, it's the principal from Saved by the Bell, or like, we're never, I don't know.
Well, the innocence is gone. I mean, we already know everyone isn't who they seem to be on TV. And I don't even think we expect our reality stars to be the same.
Right. And we've already seen their dick on the internet and whatever it is. But can we have that guy anymore in a sitcom? And I'm trying to think of what would be the closest to it. I mean, no matter how popular a sitcom is, Modern Family, you don't think the gay guy's an actual lawyer or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's no, it's done, right?
I think
everyone knows everything.
I mean, I'm trying to think even of any traditional sitcoms at this point. They've tried the four-camera sitcom, and they don't really last.
When I was growing up, if a guy was on a TV show and he played a cop, intellectually I knew he wasn't actually a cop, but he was still half a cop and way more cop than anybody else I knew.
You still kind of, I don't know about sitcoms, but like Alex Trebek gets a tremendous amount of mileage out of being smart, but he's not smart. He has all the answers right in front of him. He's just smarter than any of us.
He could be.
He may, he may get some of it.
Pat Sajak knows the alphabet.
Hi, how are you, Tom? Have a seat. You had a problem in the bathroom? Well, sit down and talk into the microphone. Talk into the mic. We cannot hear you unless you have the microphone, Tom.
I'll tell you what he was saying. His baby powder exploded in the bathroom.
Yes.
He's covered in baby powder.
Oh, I have baby powder in the bathroom. I talc up on days like this.
Mine opened up.
You can go ahead and just put those on your head.
My baby powder opened up. The top fell off.
Uh-huh.
It fell all down my back.
Do you carry baby powder?
Well, today I did. I don't always do, but I like baby powder. It makes me feel comfortable and reminds me of being a boy.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I talc up myself. Now that was baby powder, wasn't it, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay. No. Take your word for it. How you doing?
You want to smell me?
You smell good. Unbelievable. So you've written a movie with your brother.
I didn't write it. My brother wrote it.
Oh, just your brother.
Well, I gave him notes, and he said, "Really, really, Tom?"
Well, he didn't listen to any of them.
Yeah, he listened to some of them.
Is your brother a good writer?
Yes, he is a very talented writer. I didn't realize how talented he was. He's an attorney, and he did extremely well at U of M Law School, and he's a very talented attorney. And but when we were younger, he was only 18 months younger than me. He wrote a lot of poems and short stories that were quite good and won some contests and stuff. And but that wasn't the idea when I first went to him about this. The movie's about two of my dad's siblings, two of his brothers, mm-hmm. who were petty thieves, and they died real close to each other at the end of the 90s and early 2000s. And I said, wouldn't it be cool if for Dad, because he only had one surviving sibling then, if we...
You want to take your chain?
No, man. Everything fell apart with this baby powder. Yeah. I had the baby powder off everything.
That's all right.
It was everywhere.
That's all right.
I cleaned your bathroom and everything.
Thank you.
If we did an homage for Keith and Carl, a short film.
The brothers that were petty thieves.
I told Aaron.
Do you think they would appreciate you calling them petty thieves? I'm talking about the petty part. I'd rather just be called an international jewel thief than a petty thief. Either way, you're a thief.
Do one these way heists mean nothing?
One way you don't make any money.
Yeah. Well, when you're stealing...
What would they steal?
Well, the biggest thing they ever did was a warehouse where they stole, like, tools.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was the big time.
So they were petty thieves. These are your dad's brothers.
Yeah, they were drug addicts. And,
what the... And
it was his eldest brother, Carl, and his youngest brother, Keith. And my dad won an academic scholarship to Harvard. And he was in this family that was very poor. His father was a migrant farmer who came north after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. So they were very, 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 you know, poor people. And my dad still doesn't know why, but for some reason, a voice in his head said, don't do drugs, go to school, because it wasn't his parents. You know, because they were too busy trying to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And, they say go to school, but, I mean, Carl stopped going to school when he was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. So, hold on one second.
Have you ever seen the pictures from Let Us Now Praise Famous Men?
No.
The Walker AG?
I'm not gay, but I know. I know. Is that a calendar?
Adam, you don't like me, I don't think.
No, I'm a big fan.
It's okay. It's okay if you don't like me.
What do you mean? I'm a huge fan.
Because I was on the air like 5 months ago. You took me to task about something that I didn't want to be taken to task about.
Really?
That's your job. You're a journalist.
That's true.
That is
your job.
You see the Peabody behind me. What did I take you to task about?
Oh, gosh. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, let me say this.
You said it sounded too detailed to have been a fiction.
I want to say this.
Oh.
I want to say this.
It's a
Tom
legendary
Sizemore.
Story in the podcast history.
Let me just say this. You know, Monica Lewinsky wants to come on The Tonight Show, but she only wants to talk about her line of handbags. And there's a catch-22 problem there, which is that's the only reason we know why and who she is. I'm not comparing you to Monica Lewinsky.
Yes, you are.
I'm not saying you perform oral
yes,
that well,
are.
But what I'm
Listen,
saying is it's our sort of job to talk about the handbags, but also talk about the other things as well.
You're smarter than me. I didn't.
No.
My brother's smarter than me, too. I can't win.
So did you guys do...
But I don't fight. I just give up.
Is there anyone who's doing petty thievery who's not... into drugs or alcohol? I feel like that drives petty thieves, right?
Well, I having never been a petty thief or a thief at all,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine that, you know, drugs are expensive, and unfortunately a lot of people do them who do have money, and a lot of people do them don't have money, and then they have to...
But the story is about your dad's two
brothers.
But
it's not about drugs. We took the drugs out. We didn't want to make it about drugs.
Oh, okay.
Okay, these guys just want to get one big score, and their big score, their notion of a big score is knocking off the local pawnbroker who has a very voluminous baseball card collection.
Indiegogo, by the way, movie campaign is where you can find it. It's called An Honest Thief. And you said a short earlier.
Well, I said we could write a short. We could use photographs of them, or maybe mm-hmm. at the time, Tom Jane and I were very, very close friends. I said maybe Tom and I could. Thomas Jane could play mm-hmm. the parts, and he said, "Okay, let me think about it." And then 6 months later, I got an email from him, and he had written a 112-page script.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of those 6 months, he said, "Could you send me a screenplay?" I said, "What for?" He said, "I just want to see how they're formatted." And I sent him a Magnolia and Saving Private Ryan. And I had a notion maybe he might be doing good screenplays.
Sure.
And I got the screenplay from him, and I read about, I don't know, 40-odd pages of it. And I called Thomas up, and I said, "Tom, come over here. Would you read this with me?" We're very, very close then. And we're still friends now, but we were very close then. And he came over the next day, and we read it aloud. And when it was done, you know, I was an objective. That's why I asked him to do it. And I said, "What do you think?" And he said, I think it's really great. It's a movie." And we subsequently started to try to raise the money, but I was having a lot of problems, and you know, we couldn't get it done.
Well, how are you doing now?
I'm doing well.
And sober, acting, doing well.
Doing the Red Road, sober, acting. I run around with Danny Trejo 5 days a week. He's got 45 years. He's not my sponsor. He's my trudging buddy.
Yeah.
I got very fortunate.
Very interesting guy.
Well, he's a very interesting guy, and he's a very kind person. When I was struggling, I called him, and I said, "Listen, I need some stability in my meetings.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? I need to know where I'm going every night.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know where you're going?
Mm-hmm. To the tattoo parlor.
He said, "Come over tomorrow at 6:30.
Uh-huh.
And I had moved to Santa Clarita to get away from certain people.
Uh-huh.
And he lives in Mission Hills. It was about 18-minute drive from my house.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've been doing this for several months now. I drive over his house at 6:30. We have something to eat Monday through Friday. And mm-hmm. then we go to a meeting by 7:30 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it Monday through Friday. And on the weekends, I go with my sponsor, Steve.
So have and, you... sorry for cutting you off.
It's the first time I've really had both feet in.
Is it so for you? Sobriety, that is a full time. I don't want to say full time, but what I mean is that's a daily.
I have to do every day.
That's a daily gig.
I finally embraced that notion. I finally embraced doing it. I'm not trying to do it every day. I'm doing it every day.
Mm-hmm. And
it's not always fun, but I've gotten really comfortable with Danny, and I'm working the steps and stuff I never did before. As you know, might know, I've had problems with substance abuse for some time. I went to my first AA meeting in 1991, and I never did the whole ball of wax, you know, sponsor, meetings, commitments, and losing the using people that you knew before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that now. It's hard.
How's Hollywood doing with you in terms of embracing you? Yeah, take your jacket off because it.
Well, the baby powder.
Sounds like the ghost of Christmas past is coming through my studio.
The baby powder was all over this red shirt. I wanted to hide it.
How is Hollywood? I mean, look, Tom, you're an amazingly talented actor. I think
I know what you're asking.
Everyone knows that. Well, yeah, I'm asking you. And Hollywood is, you know, we've seen Robert Downey Jr. go off the rails, and then we've seen him get back on track. And there's a million of those stories, and there's a million that never worked out. How's Hollywood?
The majority don't work out.
Yeah, and the majority of life doesn't work out. I mean, the majority of people who try to act doesn't work out, sober or not.
True.
But how's Hollywood treating you?
They're treating me well. I'm doing the Red Road on the second season, and we start October 9th. I was just cast, well, not just, I've been cast in a movie called Durant's Never Closes as Jack Durant. It's a good movie, a really terrific movie with Pam Grier, Michael Richards, Peter Bogdanovich, and possibly Lucy Liu.
Mm-hmm.
I play the lead in it. I'm back with my big agency, and I can't say the name of the show, but a very, very prolific TV producer.
Facts of Life. We're just talking about that.
Yeah, thing. You're such a...
No, go ahead.
You're something else.
As a callback.
You're worse
joke.
Than my sister, Rebecca.
You were in the bathroom blowing up your baby powder while I was making that joke. But
I was putting it in my
but
back.
But it's going good.
It's going better than it's gone in
how is,
10
how
years.
Is acting... How is it to act sober in especially those periods of your life? I'm not saying you were high when you were shooting Saving Private Ryan, although maybe you were. I don't know, but...
I wasn't.
You talk about, musicians talk about, oh, you're going to lose your creative whatever if you're not high on mushrooms.
I think what people are talking about is the depression that accompanies any recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Once you stop doing drugs, there's a depression. Regardless of how much you were doing, and those that were doing a whole lot, the depression lasts longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people might be talking about is that they don't feel like doing anything. You know, because they're depressed. They blew out their serotonin, their dopamine, and they really took their body through hell.
Right.
So they feel like hell. And you don't feel like being creative or exercising or things like that. And you just have to kind of gut it out and get through that. Sometimes Drew told me it can be 2 years.
How much money are you guys looking to raise at Indiegogo to make this film?
Well, the movie's a 2.7, and we have half, so we're
well. It's not bad.
We raised half with just regular people, I mean, right? Regular investors.
Yeah, I mean regular people. No, I'm not talking just not I don't mean regular people, Jews, but yes.
I mean
Hollywood the regular.
I didn't say that.
I know what you're talking about. So you took regular investors the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way, yeah.
And you got halfway there, yeah, and you then, want to get the other halfway, the other half at Indiegogo.
Yeah, the main reason was because, you know, investors are fickle, and most of them wanted to move the movie out of Detroit. And mm-hmm. one of the reasons that we really wanted to do the movie was because I was born, all my siblings, but my brother and I are the first two. We were born and raised in the inner city of Detroit. And Detroit's like a character in the movie. And there's no city quite like Detroit, especially now with all
no,
these problems.
It is its own character in a movie. I mean, I've been yeah. through downtown.
Did you read the LeDouf book, An American Autopsy?
I don't believe in reading. That spoils the thoughts that I would have had otherwise.
Well, Charles LeDouf wrote a great book last year that was won the Pulitzer Prize, was shortlisted, and it's called Detroit, An American Autopsy. Mm-hmm. And it's about, he's my age, and it's about how Detroit was in 1962, 63, 64. And in 1965, Detroit was the richest city in the Union.
Well, because it made things. It manufactured
yeah.
things.
Yeah, it made cars and planes and stuff like that.
It's a weird place to, first off, it's weird to see a huge abandoned buildings. You just don't see.
Not just one. Lots. Adam can attest to this. I mean, one after another, after another, after another, after another.
Yeah, and houses boarded up as you drive
block after block
to the city. And
at the Detroit News, he works at the news. LeDouf worked at the New York Times, the LA Times.
Oh, yes, I know. I did hear about this book, yeah. Yes.
They asked them to bring candles because at 6:30, they turn off the lights. So yeah. You're a journalist, and you have to bring candles to work. They ask you to bring your own toilet paper. The fire department hasn't had a change of boots or any change of equipment in 10 years. And it's just bad news.
What is the message we or the rest of the country or maybe even the world should get from Detroit?
Well, I think – I'm not sure what the message is. I'm an actor, but I think if Detroit's allowed to fall and just become, you know, a memory or an obsolete – and I think that it couldn't possibly be good for the country, and it might be a precursor to other cities that are struggling.
Well, you know,
the whole country's struggling with money.
It's weird. Detroit, I mean, you know, could have arguably won the war for us, because when all those car manufacturers stopped making cars and started making tanks and jeeps and everything else, half tracks and airplanes and everything else, I mean, that was... A lot of that, at least, was out of Detroit.
A lot of that
was Big Three. So there's a certain debt of gratitude in a weird way that not only this country, but many other countries whose asses we've saved in World War II.
That's a very good point.
Oh, Detroit. As a matter of fact, if I was Detroit, I would just go say, hey, France.
Come on.
You got some change. You got
the Mona Lisa back.
Yeah, we got you a lot of your shit back. And I'd go find a lot of, hey, Paul, all right, you're cool. Well, I'll go find some
Poland?
Other.
Yeah,
you know what?
They got their ass kicked.
You got your own problems.
There's so much you can do.
No, well, listen, I'm going to go to an ATM that's got a little money in it. That's all I'm saying. But I would go to
Spain. How's it been?
Yeah, I might go to
Spain's in bad trouble.
I might go to England. I might go to, and I'd go to Germany
Chinese.
And Japan yeah. and China too, and go, hey, come
the,
on now.
The Germans
you guys
really,
are doing
the,
pretty
the
good for
should,
yourselves.
The Germans should really up with some points.
Yeah,
with
well,
some
Detroit's
dough.
Falling on hard times, so how about you kick a couple of ducats over their way for what happened? We never collected on that
hey,
bill.
Italy, yeah, come on. That's a good time.
my mother worked for the city of Detroit for 25 years. She was working in the ombudsman's office. I'm not sure if you know what an ombudsman's office is. It's like if someone doesn't mow their lawn and their next door neighbor in Detroit, and maybe I don't know if it's true of all cities, you call the ombudsman's office and you file a complaint, mm-hmm. and someone comes out and says, you know, you need to mow your lawn, and if they don't do it, then the ombudsman office will do it for you. A car is parked in front of your house for 6 months, which is not uncommon in Detroit.
Right. I don't have like a bat phone hotline to the ombudsman.
Anyway, she was a city employee, and when they declared bankruptcy, her pension was cut in half. And you know, she gave all those years, and my mom,
and she had a promise.
And she had a promise, and they didn't keep it.
So when do you look to start shooting the film?
We're hoping to go to get done by Christmas, so we're hoping to go mid-November.
So it'd be like a 6-week shoot, 5-week shoot, something like that, and about $2.5 million. And shot.
You want to be in it?
On location.
You're perfect for Felix the Fence.
Well, if we can do it in Studio City, yeah.
My schedule's you don't fly? Crazy.
No, I fly. But first off, I've been to Coney Island Dogs over there in Detroit.
You've been over to Lafayette and American Coney Island?
Yeah.
They're pretty good, huh?
It's mainly the crazy people that work at the Coney Island Dogs that I found most entertaining.
When were you last there?
About 2 years ago, my waiter looked like the guy from the Hills Have Eyes. Or no, actually, he looked like the you know, the retarded spastic thing from Goonies.
Oh yeah, Sloth.
Yeah, looked like Sloth. Yeah. He would just show up. I do like the idea of them just dropping beers and hot dogs off on your table, not asking you for any money or doing anything, and then at the end just going, that's $4.27. Yeah. After you ordered 9 hot dogs and 7 Schlitz, they're just like, I don't know if the guy, I know the clientele was great, the guy who worked there was great. I mean, it was a weird time machine of how...
Those guys work at, I was there 3 years ago when the guys, two of the guys at American Coney Island were the same guys who were there when I was a teenager.
Yeah, as we talked about before, it's a weird thing in that both places are 10 feet apart from right. one another. I think we ate at the one that was off the corner, but next time we go to the corner.
And we're back. More Corolla Classics clips. We got them ready for you guys. This next one. From 2015, Joe Coy, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop in studio. It's a listener request, Gio. And if any of the listeners want to request a clip, it's super easy. Just go to Twitter and tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio or at Chris Loxamana, or email us classics@adamcarolla.com and let us know what you want to hear. This one's from Chad. He writes, "Hey, Gio." What? I'm on the show too. It's okay. I will get over it. I was wondering if you have had the opportunity to look at this podcast for the Corolla Classics show. Andy Daly was a guest after the exchange with Adam and Joe about a Chinese food restaurant. Well, Chad, we do have a clip for you.
Adam Carolla Show 1625. Andy Daly was the guest. This is before he comes in. This is Joe Coy and Adam Carolla. There have been a discussion about a recent incident Adam experienced involving sushi. And then it leads to another character by the name of Black Mold. It goes a little something like this.
I just went out to lunch with a friend of Howard Stern's because this guy's a radio guy and he's getting into podcasting. And Howard reached out to me and said, "Can you have a lunch with this guy?" And I said, "Yeah." And I told him... ultimately, no magic. Either the people are going to listen or they're not, and they're going to tell a friend or they're not. So thank you guys for listening and telling a friend. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian, I'm the star.
Just a reminder, Joe Coy.
Lest you forget.
Joe Coy in studio. We always love Joe Coy.
I love you.
The Yo and Joe Show is the name of the podcast. Also, live shows coming up August 7th and 8th. That's Hermosa Beach Comedy Magic Club. Helium Comedy Club Buffalo, and that's coming up August 13th through the 15th, Humphreys Concert by the Bay. I should say Concerts by the Bay. That is August 22nd. More dates available on the website. You go to Joe's website, joecoy.com. That's joy.com. God damn it, joecoy.com. Good to see you again, Joe, and very, very good good timing for us. Because
what's going on?
Well, when I said this fella, friend of Stern's, went to go out for lunch... Said,
before he crushed his dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said...
said there's no way to succeed in podcasting.
I said, why don't we go to this little sushi joint that's me.
Was the same one Skip and Allison were talking about?
Yes.
Why?
Because
it's supposed to be really good.
It's really good, and I knew Joe Coy was coming in, and it's the waitress is so mean because it's, what do you call it, omakase?
Omakase.
Omakase.
Joe, do you know about the, you know what omakase is?
I have no idea.
Okay.
You explain.
I might be getting it wrong, but as I understand it, it's a very limited menu. The chef often brings you, just sends things out.
Oh, okay.
You sort of at the chef's whim. No rolls, no California rolls. It's very authentic.
They have a picture of a California roll. It has an extra. So there's a, like...
Yeah, taking a stand.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, they should open a brothel. Big picture of a pussy, X through it. Like, yeah. I know this is what you want.
What
not going to get
okay.
any.
Yeah.
Not so
here. The chef will bring stuff
they
out
do
for
the
you.
And they do the. God forbid you ask for something to be cut up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to eat it like you're chugging a seaweed cock.
The hand roll.
Like, you have to,
no cup
you have
roll.
To hold the whole. It's uncomfortable. Like, there's a reason.
Sushi cone.
There you go. Just hold it with two hands, Mr. Carolla.
Can I say this, Ms. Waitress?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm Italian.
Okay.
And we have ravioli.
Ah, yes. So mm-hmm. good. So mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we order ravioli, mm-hmm. we get many raviolis, not one huge pillow-sized ravioli we can wrestle with. You see what I'm saying?
I understand
kinda. We like it cut up, so we can eat it one piece at a time versus...
Oh, like a Chef Boyardee.
Well, no, obviously my people make better ravioli than that, but the point...
Like a dumpling.
Like what?
You want a dumpling.
Not a dumpling. Dumpling?
Dumpering.
Dumpering?
Yes, you want the dumpering.
No, I'm not going to dump.
We can get dump ring for you.
No. What I'm saying.
Size of foot.
What I'm saying is it is a seaweed microphone that you're handing me that I have to devour like a snow cone filled with fish.
It is. Yeah. It's like it's a sushi cone.
Then when you dip it in, it all falls out of the thing.
Don't dip.
Cut it up. Can I have it cut up, please?
No, you cannot.
Okay.
You're thinking of a different kind of sushi.
Yeah, the kind I
like
want.
Like a gas station.
The kind you... No.
You're gas used station. To gas station like
no.
7-Eleven.
Where?
You
where?
Like 7-Eleven. This is not 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven?
This is not a 7-Eleven.
Oh, 7-Eleven. No.
Yeah, that is the sushi
no.
you...
No.
This is real, authentic sushi.
Okay, can I ask you something?
It will cost you.
Oh, okay. I'll choose.
I'll
okay.
put on tap right now.
Okay.
Ask
well,
question.
No, I
14.
Okay.
Go ahead,
what,
Mr. Carrara.
What state are we living in?
This is California.
California. Mm-hmm. All right. There's a roll named after the very state we live in.
I would like
some of those cut up, please.
Unfortunately, not here, sir.
California roll, please.
Never heard.
One
more time, I will punch you in your mouth.
I know you have rice, you
yes.
have avocado,
uh-huh.
you have everything you need to make an avocado
imitation
roll.
Crab, yes.
Yes, yes, I would like that. That's
we
what
will
I would
put
like.
All three together.
All right, I'm sorry. My boy
sorry.
Is... Okay, I'm okay.
Sorry, Mr.
Okay,
Carrara.
I'm sorry. We've gotten off on the wrong foot.
You want ravioli.
I don't want ravioli. What?
That wrong restaurant. You want Olive Garden.
Olive Garden?
Yes.
No. No, no.
Yeah, that's where you go.
No, no. We come here to enjoy your
no
sushi.
No California roll here.
Okay.
Sir.
All right. You know, my son likes the cucumber roll.
Oh, cucumber.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very delicious roll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can we have that?
Had before. No, not here.
No. Okay.
Unfortunately, no.
Okay. But you have cucumbers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And we have a rice and a seaweed.
Right,
just
right.
don't like to put all three
okay,
together.
Okay. Don't put the three together. Okay. Can I say this?
Uh-huh.
Please. My boy likes the chicken teriyaki bowl.
Ooh,
yeah, he likes the teriyaki. Mm, and
very
he likes,
good.
Yeah, with like the, you know, the tempura.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, tempura. He likes it. Like the yeah, deep fried tempura.
So
yeah, it's really good. Like, especially when they do,
yeah, uh-huh.
you guys do like a yam slice and you deep fry it in the tempura. Yeah, that's
so
delicious.
My mouth is watering right
yeah,
now,
me
as
too.
You described.
Can I have an order of that then, please?
No, that's Panda Express. You're very bottom of the barrel, sir. This
bottom.
Is top-notch gourmet sushi.
Okay, well, right, uh-huh. so can I have the teriyaki for my boy?
Yeah, at Panda Express.
Okay, not
go
here.
Go to mall.
Yeah.
And you can have all the teriyaki you can have.
Yeah.
Just
this is,
so this sorry.
Sounds like Joe's
this is, it seems like you're being a little condescending here.
No, not at all.
I feel like you're speaking down to
I'm
me.
I'm so sorry.
Now it feels like you're really speaking.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. This
cry?
Is uncomfortable.
Oh, you cry?
No, I'm not
now
crying.
Now you know how we feel.
No.
Yeah.
Listen.
Uh-huh.
You make rolls, right?
Oh, lots of rolls.
All right, you have a knife back there, right?
Oh, like what, ginsu, any kind of knife,
okay.
samurai, any knife is back there.
Can I ask that you cut my roll-ups into smaller pieces so that I can use your chopsticks to put them in the...
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I just don't feel like there's anything I'm getting here.
What are you not getting? But tell me one more time, Mr.
Cora. Right. Could I have a Coca-Cola?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I didn't
but
want
we
a
have
Coca-Cola.
To pour into your hand.
No.
Yeah, pour what? Into your hand.
You guys don't allow glasses
no
in
glass
there?
No glass here. There's no glass in real authentic sushi.
Really?
Restaurant.
Is it that authentic?
Very authentic.
Wow.
pour into hand, drink out of hand.
You know, maybe if I can get a roll and take it home, I can cut it up. Let me take a bunch of rolls to go.
You have to eat right here. Everything must be consumed before you leave premises.
But if I already paid for it, uh-huh, and it hasn't arrived yet, uh-huh, then obviously it's my property. And I'd like to take...
Kind of, not really.
Well, if, I think
you're still inside our property.
I'm not an attorney, but by California roll law, I should be able to bring that back because I've paid for it.
Kind of, not really. Now, we have a different rule here.
I can't take it home?
You can't leave.
I can do what?
You cannot leave.
I can't leave.
Unless you finish all the sushi you order. But, that is a disrespectful to the
but what
sushi
if, what if I'm full or I overordered?
I don't give a two shits. You shouldn't. You know what?
You're using language now.
I have a bigger stomach, Mr. Corora.
Yeah, well,
speaking
of eyes.
And you're not going to leave unless you eat all the sushi you order.
Okay.
That is how we do here.
You know, this is going to be reflected in your tip.
What did he say?
My
manager said, you leave. We cut your dick off.
Oh, hold on.
And make that Adam Corolla roll.
Oh. I thought you didn't use knives back then. Ask your manager. You tell him I'm a pretty big celebrity.
And your name is one more time.
Okay. It's Adam Corolla. I think you...
Adam the Corolla. Like, oh, the car.
Yes.
You invent the car.
Spelled different. I'm in a little show called Catch a Contractor.
Never heard of that.
It's on cable. It's a cable.
Oh, yeah. So it's not really a celebrity.
No, it is. No, it's real. No, it's real. You sound like my grandmother.
Oh, the cable.
Look, I don't have to be a big star. I don't have to be Jimmy Kimmel on ABC in order to get a little respect in this town. You know?
I'm crazy.
Yeah. So all right, now listen to me.
Look at that wall of fame we have here.
Oh, God.
All the celebrities we have here.
Jesus Christ, you got Look Mark at, Spitz up there.
Mark Spitz, baby.
Letterman, Leno.
Letterman, Reno.
Carson. This has been open for a while.
Look at that.
Yeah, Jimmy came by here and put it in.
He's a very good guy. Big tipper.
Right. Okay. So,
Jimmy Kimmel.
All right. So, let me give you an example.
Now, he's a celebrity.
Yeah. Like, we're both celebrities as well.
Unfortunately, you are not a celebrity.
Well, no. Listen to me.
You're just a stranger from off the street.
I'm on the Spike Network. Okay.
You are the funny guy.
Yeah, I am. That's my job. Okay. It's Spike.
Okay.
It's Spike. Yes. It's called Spike.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. We do something. Catch a contractor.
Get to the country.
Yeah.
Huh? Let me write that down.
Catch a contractor.
Okay.
It's on Spike. You understood? Spike. Understood. Okay, ask your manager. I bet your manager's heard of me. Ask him if he's heard of me. I'm sure he's heard of me.
Spike the TV. Oh, he's a rabbit.
He's laughing.
Spike the TV. You are a funny guy.
Well, yeah, that's my point.
In my country, we call you Crown.
Crown?
Crown. Do you know Jungle the Clown?
I think you meant like royalty, like crown.
Not to you.
Like crown royal, like the scotch, yeah, the whiskey. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Crown royal.
Would you take my word for the celebrity part, please?
No.
Okay, all right. You know, just pretend I'm a pretending.
You have to be. I'm a paying customer. You have to be a celebrity.
It's very easy, Matt.
One but the celebrity equal celebrity. You are not celebrity equaling not celebrity.
Understood.
The reason why no picture on the wall.
Yeah, okay. Now, let me just say this. I see a picture. Can you get the autograph for me? Yeah, I could if you play your cards right. Okay?
Okay.
So, now listen. I see you have Pat Sajak on there.
Pat Sajak. Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, come on. Now, Claude Akins is on there. Now, come on.
Isaac from a rough boat.
Yeah, okay. Now, he's not even employed right now. I have a headshot. He points at the beginning, from the bar, from the lead-up.
Captain Stubing?
See, I know you have everyone.
We got the Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch.
Okay. And the other brown guy from Chips.
Oh, the other black guy from
Brand. Brand.
Oh, Eric Estrada.
No, the Brand one. The one no one really gives two shits about.
Larry Wilcox?
Yeah,
blonde guy. Okay, the blonde guy. Larry Wilcox.
Yeah, he is a celebrity. Right.
There's a lot of pictures up there. Yes. A lot of these guys aren't even in the business anymore.
Yeah?
Okay, I have my headshots in the trunk of my car.
Mm.
I could bring one out.
No.
I could I could sign it. What's your manager's name? Ask your manager if he wants a headshot.
Okay, one more.
What is
your name one more time? I just want to be sure.
It's Adam Carolla.
Okay, one more.
Okay, all right.
It's Spike TV. It's a remedy. It's a Catarora. It's a...
Is that a yes?
No.
No?
He have a no idea.
He doesn't at all.
He's a crying rabbit. He doesn't ever even see a rabbit.
He knows Larry.
He can listen to.
Hold on. He's a fan of Larry Wilcox.
He loves Larry Wilcox. They go golfing all the time.
He loves Larry. He doesn't love me.
No, he
this is so. Like, come on now.
$114,
hold on.
You have to finish your food.
Okay, hold on. See the red guy. There's the red-headed guy. Yes. He played Murph from the Union 76 commercial. Yes. He's prominently
right
displayed on that wall.
Right,
I think he's been dead for over 20 years.
But he used to sit right there.
Oh, for Christ's sake, the Maytag repairman guy's up there.
Oh, God. We bought the refrigerator from him.
Okay. Could
very
you just,
nice guy.
Me and Jimmy Kimmel are, you know, we're, I mean, yeah, he's doing ABC, and I'm on a prominent,
ABC,
you know,
that's a tenor, yes.
Right, ABC and just like Spike is.
But,
we've gone separate ways.
What a mistake that was.
Yeah, okay. Okay, you know what? I didn't come in here to be
just
ridiculed.
Just for that, I charge you extra money.
No, I didn't even get to take my food home.
You have to pay for your mistake. I'm funny too.
All right, yeah, you're not funny. You're not a clown.
Aurora.
All right, I want California roll.
Oh.
I want a spicy tuna roll. I want it cut up with no smelt eggs.
Okay.
My boy over here, who, by the way, you're traumatizing because he worships me. You understand that?
Yeah, he has no idea who you are.
No, he knows who I am.
Okay,
I'm a celebrity first and his father second. Oh. Ask him.
Okay.
Now, I don't even know your name.
Mm-hmm. Osakoto Uso.
What? You know what? I'm going to write this down because somebody's getting a letter.
Okay.
Spell it.
Osakato Okusa.
Okay.
Osakatokuso.
That's your first
name? That is the first name.
All right, what's your last name? Okay. I hope it's Brown or Jackson. It's going to be a lot easier.
All right, sharpen your pencil.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a Hiro Kotokuso.
All right, so when I come here on your day off and I speak to the owner and I tell him shit. Well, I'm going to lay that.
I'll tell my dad you are calling.
Oh, your dad owns it? Oh, boy, shit.
You're really fucked up.
Yeah.
He's proud.
All right, could I just get a regular iced tea, please?
That's a $14.95.
For the regular iced tea?
Yes, you have to drink before you pay.
I got to pay first, then drink. But I have to finish the whole thing?
You finish whole thing with ice.
My boy wants a root beer. Do you have root beer?
No.
Do you have Dr. Pepper?
No.
Mr. Pibb?
No.
He likes Sprite?
No.
Oh, all right. Then 7-Up.
Ramen. Ramen juice.
What juice?
Yeah, ramen.
Ramen?
Yes, the broth of a ramen.
Ramen broth?
Ramen the broth.
No, he wants Sprite, not salty brine.
Neighborhood.
With seaweed floating in it.
Yeah.
Ramen. I'm sorry. I don't care if it's your dad. What's your name again?
It's a O-S-S-E-A-K-T-U-M-E-L-M-N-O-P-E.
Now, wait a minute. You're making that name up now with the L-M-N-O-P.
That is authentic Japanese.
That is such... You know what? Tell your manager I want to speak to him right now.
One more second. It's a L-M-N-O-P here. It's a rapping so hard. Even the Mexican people are rapping at you.
You tell one of those Mexicans I want to talk to him. You have Mexicans, doing your dishes?
The dishes and everything else.
Wow. All right, just give me some California roll to go.
Okay, absolutely not.
And see.
So you went for sushi.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Don't cry, everybody.
Gary and Dawson are crying their eyes out.
I'm crying my eyes out.
That was fun.
I love it when you talk to your manager.
Was the word haircut in there somewhere as part of your name?
Words coming to my mind.
Now, do you know your name?
I don't know my name. I don't even know what I said. Osaka Tokuwa. Hiroshitomo wa. Osaka Tokuwa.
All right, where were we? Oh, Castro. Oh, let me sober up a little, Castro. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what I'm bringing. Engine wear, that'll sober your ass up. 75% engine wear occurs when? During warm-up. How long does that last? Up to 20 minutes, so most of those little short trips. That sushi place is only half miles from here.
But yeah, it started the car then, twice within a quarter
mile. Didn't
even
get warmed up. That's right. Castro GTX with Magnatec. It clings to the critical engine parts, even when the engine is off. So you don't need to warm up. Leaves the critical engine parts nice and smooth and slippery. Four times slicker. Available at Walmart, AutoZone, Quick Lube Centers. New Castrol GTX Magnatec. I'm literally crying. I'm laughing.
Good thing you protein loaded with all that sushi and California rolls beforehand.
It's right. We had no idea what we were getting or how much of it we would get. It's a thing where you have to write the number next to the thing, but you don't know what it is. If two comes on a plate or one one comes on a plate. You just order one or...
I want to go.
It's supposed to be really... I've been there once and it's really good. It's years ago, but you don't know what you're getting.
Yes.
Did you order the right amount?
We did because the other guy paid.
At a certain point, you just stop.
If not, we would have over-ordered.
At a certain point, you just stop ordering.
I had one of those things happen to me today where, isn't it nice to, don't we all love the timing sort of thing? Like that part where somebody says to you, maybe it's your wife going, you never take out the trash and you literally took it out 2 minutes earlier and you can point to an empty trash can with a new liner in it.
It's
something insanely satisfying about it. I got this tweet today where the guy basically said, all you do is retweet stuff that's your, basically your bullshit, your business, Mangria, whatever, stuff that benefits you. So the tweet I got was, the only time you tweet is when it's beneficial for you. You're great, but I think you really don't give two shits about your fans. And 3 minutes earlier, the tweet that I sent out was a fan.
Yeah, I
was a fan who, Chris Maxipad, I don't know what he was thinking, took a picture of us at the Burbank Airport yesterday, and he cut the guy's head off. And all I did was retweet the picture saying sorry.
Yeah. Which is short, but that's no excuse.
It's not. That's true. But this is the least, and buy some Mangria, here's a book, I'm doing a live podcast, or anything. That was me saying sorry to a fan I took time to take picture with at the airport yesterday. So I'm so glad that this guy's tweet came in 10 seconds after the last tweet.
Yes, Chris says this was August. He's incensed.
Oh, that was August. It seemed like August. Yeah. No, here's...
Would an agent take that bad of a photograph?
No, you're right. No, here's the thing. Chris, here's the God's honest. I saw the guy's picture where his head was cropped off and my head was cropped off. And I said, August fucked the picture up. Because that's what August does. Then I said, wait a minute. August was Ubering home. Me and Chris were traveling home together. And we sort of,
at the plane kind of did a, all right, Mike, catch you back, catch you on the flip side, because he's waiting for his Uber, mm-hmm. and we're trying to, it's always that hustle to get to the car that they valeted to get your ticket in, right. so they can bring it around kind of thing. So we're on the move, so I just did this math since we're outside of the airport that it was just me and you, and Mike was hanging back, but... It
takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
Yeah. No, my instinct was Chris wouldn't fuck that up.
Yeah, it wasn't wrong.
But it wasn't with Mike.
It's
but
all right.
Mike, I guess, made it with us to the curb, and then that's where we took the picture.
And that picture is so perfectly cropped with your eyes and your forehead out that it looks like it took effort to fuck it up that bad.
That's the beauty. That's why you guys will never be as great as Mike August. All right. Let's see. Someone's being exposed to toxic black mold. Hey, I think I just found a new Joe Coy character. Black Mold. Black Mold, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, yeah, listen.
It's real damp in here. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are getting sick from you.
Oh, you know what? That's just what happens, you know.
Yeah.
That's what mold does.
You're making folks sick, yeah.
Yeah, making motherfuckers sick.
Yeah. Since, I was going to say, like, 1920, but since the dawn of civilization.
Really. Yeah, mm-hmm. Let you're me smell your shirt real quick.
Well, why? Is it moldy to you?
Yeah, it smells like me.
Smells like you?
Yeah, it smells like me.
Like you pissed on it or something?
I might have done something.
Oh, man, worse than piss. Okay. Hey, Julie.
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Good. You're on with me and Black Mold.
Hey, what's going on, baby?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Black Mold.
Hey, how you doing, baby?
How you hanging, Black Mold?
Oh, I like this girl. Real low to the ground, you know what I mean? Real sticky. Can you find a nice damn
yourself.
Place for me to hang out?
You have a question about Black Mold?
Yeah. Well, Black Mold can chime in, you know, definitely, mm-hmm. Adam. But I know you... I know you dealing with... dealing with
the...
I'm getting a feeling like I want to have a pineapple soda all of a sudden. Ooh. Jesus.
Wow, that's racist.
I don't know where that came from.
Shaq's
pissed.
Where
that came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It came over me.
Black Mold, so you enjoy Shaq's line of soda?
Yeah, I like that. Pineapple, that's real good, right?
Yeah.
That's good for the ladies, you know what I
mean? Yeah, they like pineapple soda.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot that all over her, too, you know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you got what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you got what I'm
saying. Yeah. Julie?
Real quick question, Julie. Are you a white woman?
Well, I am, and I and
that's
I'm
good enough for me.
Right,
you don't have to answer.
You don't want to see her.
I don't need to look at her. I don't need to see her. Nothing as long as she's white.
Mm-hmm. Well, straight out of the gate, I got a fat ass.
Oh,
nice.
You're not the racist.
I'm on my way.
Important or pertinent?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Okay.
Just saying.
You have a question, Julie, that doesn't have to do with the size of your ass.
You know, you're always in construction sites and catch a contractor. I know you have probably come across situations, whether it be basements or ceilings that have had water pipe leakage or whatever, where toxic black mold, or believe it or not, there's white mold as well. There's also pink, yellow, and green. But, you know, you've come across those situations before.
Julie, we have an episode of Catch Contractor coming up. Black Ooh. Family, black contractor, and there's some mold to be found as well. So,
Excellent. Excellent. I can't wait to see how you're going to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's so bad that remediation is one of the only ways to deal with it.
Yeah.
So many people are so clueless about it, they go on living in bad situations or
that's what happened with you and the Epstein-Barr virus, right?
It got into me.
The chronic fatigue got into you?
Yeah, made me very tired. I sat on my ass. And
that's right. You can't,
took over from
you can't work with you can't work with that Epstein Barr.
No. And I hope that that family, you know, is welcoming.
Did you have Epstein Barr?
No, I haven't. I have asthma and allergies. I'm extremely careful about when I'm exposed to it. But I'm often in homes and people don't have a freaking clue about what it is they're breathing in, even when I show them.
You're like one of those pigs that sniffs out truffles, but with mold, right?
It's really easy because if you smell something a little bit musty, it's there.
Yeah. Hmm. That's the world. So, Julie, single gal?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no.
Hold on.
Sorry.
No?
Wait. Well, depends on who's asking.
Oh. Well, oh.
Black mold.
Are you black mold?
Yeah, I'm already. Wow.
You married?
Partnered up domestically.
Common law situation.
He's cool. You know,
you guys have your own Subarus, or you share one?
Easy.
You got a woman?
No. I know my voice is deep, you know, like kind of.
Well, it's just the domestic partner thing, I think, probably leads people down that road.
Yeah.
Yeah, the partner thing.
Right. Yeah. All right.
No, I've got a second half that, you know, he takes care of the recliner. I take care of the rest.
And I'll take care of that pussy, baby.
What do you do for a living, Black? I mean, Julie?
I'm a professional organizer.
Wow. She's called him before.
Talked to her. Oh, we've talked to you before. Cool. Yeah, the organizer. That's right. Sure. Now I got you. Okay.
And I'm in basements all the time, and 8 out of 10 basements that I'm in are the quality of the air is just so poor, and I don't know if it's because I'm a chick or what, but when I tell clients, you know, you are breathing in some really dangerous level stuff.
Yeah.
This is really not good for your respiratory or other parts. They kind of, you know, look at me like I've got that, you know, third head or second ass, or, you know, they give me that look like, oh, it's kind of a denial thing. And they're always storing shit in their basements that they shouldn't.
Yeah,
you know, quilts and,
doesn't affect everyone like it affects you. You have asthma and some respiratory situations. Other folks don't.
Right, and I always wear masks.
Okay,
I'm always wearing a mask.
But if they knew that there were spores in their lungs, they'd be super freaked out.
Yeah, but also we're not crazy, so it doesn't affect us. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the short answer.
When you were on that job with the family recently, did you reach for a mask, like an N95 or one of the respirators, the organic vapor respirators?
Yes, for dramatic effect, but I didn't really give a shit. I've been breathing in shit my whole life. Fine. But no.
Black mold is like a
No, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, and I'm not saying I wish it upon my children. I'm saying some people are a little more sensitive to it than others. Most people have to go through life, and it's just part of life because it's something that's older than life. I mean, mold
It survived this long and knows what it's doing.
Yes, it was around.
Biologically.
I'd have to talk to, we'd have to dig up Carl Sagan and get an answer to this, but I'm guessing mold was around several million years before anything that resembled an earthly creature was around.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It probably predates the horseshoe crab.
In terms of prehistorical creatures.
By millions and millions of years. So I don't think it's going anywhere.
Geo, as I said, this show, we're highlighting the last 10-plus years of podcasting, and there's been some historical moments. This show included, that's right. I'll count it. Now, this next clip that we have is one of the biggest moments in podcast history. It is the debut of Deaf Frat Guy on a podcast.
Yep, he previously appeared on The Morning Show, and of course in the writers' rooms along with Adam Carolla, where they would recount first doing this bit. This is his first appearance on the podcast. This is episode 28. It's the old format, the one-on-one. DFG comes in and has a really funny exchange with Adam, and then it leads to some listener Q&A, and Deaf Rat Guy asks some questions from some fans about the early days of the podcast.
So check it out from 2009. Hell yeah, Delta Foo, let's go.
Delta Foo.
Yeah, get it on, everybody. Got to get it on. Must get it on. No choice but to get it on. And I want to welcome, well, I was going to say back, but our first time. First time to the podcast, the Deaf Frat Guy, Maverick, is here.
Hell yeah.
Good to see you, Mav.
They say the first is the worst.
What? I thought the first was the best.
For a man, but for a lady, they say the first is the worst.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I know. I think we all wish we could go back and redo. We all wish we could get a mulligan on losing our virginity. Half the guys I talked to don't know if they were in. I mean, seriously. They seriously don't know. And then it's funny. It's like 18 seconds of fucking followed by the 15-year-old guy sheepishly asking, did you come?
Hell yeah.
I love that.
Putin, though, when he launched it, he said he lasted for like 30, 40 minutes.
Poochie? No way.
Yeah, he did the first time.
No way.
He would, went 30, 40 minutes and then busted a nut and then was ready to go right back again.
But Poochie, I think Poochie lies. Poochie's one of the Def Frat guys, Frat Brothers at the Delta Foo House. I don't believe Poochie that much. Or Mike F. or Douche Bagel or any of those guys.
Poochie's had a hard time because he got the job as a hedge fund guy.
Hedge fund guy?
Now he's working at TGIF Friday.
Oh, really? Wow.
But he's good juggler.
Yeah, he's going to do both?
Yeah, so he can, like, he worked at TGIF Friday to pay for his tuition.
Right.
And now he's able to do until he gets a new hedge fund.
Hedge fund, I think it is.
Hell yeah.
The point is, I don't even know why it's a hedge fund, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not a hedge fund. But we're,
bro. Hedge fund is when you are having fun nailing a chick with a big bush.
That's good times there, Def Rat guy. As we do from time to time, we get a little viewer or listener mail. This is stuff that you guys sent to AdamCarolla.com, and I decided it'd be a good idea to print out some of this stuff. The Weezer, actually, head engineer here, went ahead and printed up some of these questions, and Maverick printed up some of these questions. I haven't seen them yet, but Mav's got a bunch of them and decided he would just ask and we'd get into it, so let's try it.
And I first want to say that this should go a lot more smoother because Poochie's uncle has helped me with elocution.
To
pronounce the word better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, and he taught me how to intonate.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is the first one from DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you still rooted in L.A.?
Mm.
You bitch about that place so often.
Yeah.
And you've lived there your whole life.
Yeah.
Why not move to Seattle, where you are adored?
What's his name?
DJ.
Oh, DJ. DJ. Yes, L.A. sucks, but tomorrow morning or whatever day you're listening to this podcast today, I am heading to Radford Studios, CBS Radford Studios in the middle of Studio City, to work on my television pilot. And if I lived in Seattle, that would be a very long commute. So as much as I would have loved to move to Seattle or Portland or Phoenix many, many years ago, I don't know if I can do that because I constantly have business meetings and constantly do projects and shows that are all based out here in Los Angeles. This is where the business is.
And you love to get your Z's, so you could not live in Seattle. Because you'll be sleepless in Seattle.
That's good stuff, man. But yes, L.A. has a horrible mayor, is a half Mexican. There's graffiti on every street. Actually, the thing that's more disturbing than the graffiti on the freeway signs is the barbed wire that goes around the freeway signs. It's really got a nice Escape from New York feel to it. I wonder if we could have explained that to a nice guy from the 50s when he was motoring along in his Pontiac with the pipe hanging out of his mouth and the cardigan sweater, why we needed to put razor wire like it's a Guantanamo Bay on top of the freeway sign so the fucking gangbangers wouldn't stop tagging him. And how come, by the way, Mayor Villaretardo never brings up graffiti, even though it costs millions and millions of dollars and generally bums everyone out. Sorry.
A lot of those times have been tagged more than Ashley did tried out.
At which Ashley?
Oh, the one with the shared bush.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know.
Not the one who...
I know. We spend millions and millions and millions of dollars each year in this city just cleaning up trash and cleaning up graffiti because, it's a cultural thing. Let's just put it that way.
We don't tag anymore. We used to do Delta Food tag, but not anymore.
Oh, really?
No, it's because it's lowbrow.
Lowbrow, yeah.
Where did the phrase, get it on, got to get it on, come from?
Well, there's two Get It Ons. There's Get It On, the song, Get It On in the Morning Now, bum, bum, da, da, da. And that song, he just keeps yelling, get it on, get it on, get it on. And that's one of my favorite horn-driven 60s songs. Wait a minute, who does that song? Chase. Ba-da-da-da-da, boom, ba-da-da-da-da, dun-da. Get it on, get it on, get it on. It was such a sign of the times. Like, what's the name of this song you just wrote? Get It On. How's it go? Get it on in the morning. Get it on in the evening. Get it on, get it on, get it on. It's nothing but get it on, but it's great horn-driven. It's a great horn-driven song. And then there's, of course, the second, you know, everyone knows He's Got It All from Taboo 2, but they don't know the second theme from He's Got It All from Taboo 2, which is, gotta get it on, gotta get it on, gotta get it on, gotta get it on, ooh, feels so good, whoa, whoa. Whenever you throw in that whoa, whoa, that's sort of a lyrically, I would call the cop out.
Hell yeah.
That's a lyrically, the comedic version of that is a catchphrase, like get her done. That's essentially, I have nothing to say here, so I'm going to say get her done. Whoa, whoa means I can't rhyme a fucking word with the last thing I just said, so I'm just going to fill up some time with whoa, whoa. But, yeah, there's Get It On by Chase and then Get It On by the makers of Taboo 2, and I just like Get It On.
So it's from both.
From the band Chase and from Taboo 2.
Hell yeah.
Donnie, by the way, a.k.a. The Wheez, introduced me to Taboo 2 many, many years ago.
Well, this dude had a question about it's his favorite porno, but I can't find it.
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, who would win in a fight, Ray or Cousin Sal? That's from Kai.
You know, Cousin Sal's a pretty good wrestler, and I think Cousin Sal would just go low on. I think he'd just shoot in on Ray and get him in a figure four or something. So, Ray's 10 years older than Cousin Sal. Ray's, you know, he's 45, he's coming up on 46, probably past this time, but Ray's a pretty scary guy.
But Ray has retard strength.
It's everything. It's not just
the strength. It's the whole package.
It's the whole pack. The whole retard package. It's not just the strength, not just the arm strength.
This is from Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Eighth Man, can't believe... Oh, wait. I found a porno in my dad's closet. It was the first and best porno I've ever seen. Mm. It is called Hanky Panky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's vintage Ron Jeremy.
Sure.
No tats, not too much makeup, no fake boob, no spinning.
Yeah, no spitting. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And no crazy hardcore sex that looks like too painful to watch.
Yeah, and none of the chicks talking about their pussy in the third person. Fuck that pussy. Fuck that pussy. And then spitting on the guy's dick and then yelling, fuck that pussy again. Yeah.
In the first scene, some hottie is jogging around when a biker comes up to and starts talking dirty to her.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to run, but he catches her and gropes her and then stops, starts walking away, and says she'll beg for it. After he's gone and she's done crying, she starts stroking herself and such.
Sure.
He comes back just in time, gets some head, and drills her.
Yeah. It was a simpler time. And plus, the overwhelming message that I've seen in just about every 70s porn movie is eventually rape turns into consensual sex. Like, first it's like pirates or cowboys or bikers, and it's like, you know you want it, bitch. Like, no, no, no. But at a certain point, they start begging for it. It's a really weird message to send society.
Well, after he drills her, the biker... It cuts to Ron Jeremy, who's camping with his wife and his Jewish-looking friend and his wife, playing naked baseball and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out they're in a sex camp. Ron's wife gets a sexual awakening after watching three chicks rape another chick.
Yeah, she does.
Then Ron has to fuck another babe while she watches. Ron's friend pretends to sleep as he gets raped by two Catholic schoolgirls. And then he also talks his wife into a three-way in the stirring finale. So the lesson is that a light dusting of rape will save your marriage.
I think so. Well, look at the message of Taboo too. You should pork your sister and your mom. That'll straighten things out on the home front.
They finally made a version with subtitles, and it's cool because there's a scene where the short-haired mother comes in tearfully, and she says, "My husband is fucking my daughter."
So you've been able to enjoy the director subtitle now that they come out in DVD. You're able to enjoy the Taboo too.
How many more Taboo 2 sales has there been since you've been talking about
this? I don't know, but somebody literally owes me a taste. I just want to wet my proverbial beak with this. I know.
I want to say one other thing. I think that anybody's first porn is their favorite porn.
Yes, it is.
No matter what it is.
It is. And Hanky Panky, and the thing about these movies, they switch titles on them a lot. Like, I finally found Weekend Roulette, Weezer. But we couldn't find it because they go under different names, and why not, you know? I mean, it's not a well-regulated industry.
Well, I'd also like to comment on that one. They actually cut in other modern-day sex scenes. Well, I should say, like, 80s. It was a 70s porn. Then all of a sudden it had some weird 80s scenes going on at a left field.
Yeah, continuity is not a great...
Great repackage.
Continuity, not a strong point for porn.
Why are you touching a masterpiece like that?
Yeah, that's funny because I was just thinking about that the other day. Yeah, in Weekend Roulette. First off, Weekend Roulette, total late 60s, early 70s vibe, right, Donnie? And then the other thing about Weekend Roulette is they just went ahead and ripped off, like, Stan Kenton or...
No, Wes Montgomery.
Wes Montgomery. Like
electric guitarist in the world.
They just have Wes Montgomery, a legendary jazz guitarist. They just... it's not a sound alike or feel alike. It's like, hey, let's just put some... It's us making a movie and go, let's just put the Beatles behind... Let's have the Beatles for the soundtrack. Like, they just have Wes Montgomery playing.
West Coast Blues, I think, is the song that's playing.
Right.
Album of his.
Yeah, they've got a whole album of Wes Montgomery, who I'm guessing didn't score Weekend Roulette. They just put it under there. But then when they reprogrammed it or repackaged it and they put it out again, there is this one point when takes place like 1971, 1972, probably in the Valley. The original. They cut to watching the... they're all watching a TV set with a porn on it, and then it just goes like full screen with the porn they're watching, and it's 1987 porn, and it's like Amber Lynn is blowing Randy West, and it's like, whoa, what do you guys have, some kind of porn time machine? Did we all just jump ahead 15 years? Yeah, sloppy filmmaking.
How old do you think she was at the time that...
Who?
Who were we just talking about? Porn star?
Oh, Amber Lynn?
Yeah, how old was she probably in 71?
Probably 9. Sad. Yes, or maybe 5.
I had an idea for I thought it would be good to, if you're doing a butt sex movie, to end it, and you show the lady the asshole, but then it's the end of the movie, and you do that song, Closing Time.
That's good. Did Wes Montgomery do that? Oh, yeah. Closing time. Yeah. Good song. Yeah.
Okay. This is from Lumpy Gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what are your favorite Italian foods? Mm-hmm. When you were younger, were your parents big on Italian food? Big Italian dinner every Sunday?
First off, Donnie, please back me up. To say my parents were big on fill in the blank is a... They weren't big on anything, right?
No, not at all.
No.
Little granola.
No, my mom did not cook. My dad was the shittiest cook on the planet. He boiled generic spaghetti and dumped ragu out of the thing. My dad eats like a... He would, for dinner, he would eat like seeds and cottage cheese with some fruit. I was so totally, totally fucked. So fucked because my mom was into like health food and didn't cook, and my dad is lame and doesn't eat, and so I was fucking starving my entire childhood, and nobody was cooking anything, and that's why I'd have to go to Donnie's and rape his refrigerator. No one cooked shit, no one knew anything, and my dad doesn't have a favorite anything. Me personally,
Let's see. In the ID food department, I mean, there's nothing better than fresh pasta, and especially with, like, the cream sauce and so on and so forth. One time, Donnie's giving me a look because I know what he's about to say. I do love myself some lasagna. And
this is my dad's favorite dish.
I would go to Donnie's house and eat. I would go to Ray's house and eat. I would go to Chris's house and eat. I would go to everybody I know's house and eat because I had a horrible combination between having no money, being starving all the time, and having lame fucking parents that never had any fucking food in the fucking fridge.
Oh.
Mav, easy.
Hell yeah.
So I went to Donnie's house one time, and I used to just go in the kitchen in the middle of the night and open the fridge. And it was like I opened it up one time, and it was just like jackpot, like a shaft of light coming out, an angel singing. Oh, huge pan of homemade lasagna just sitting in there just waiting for me to throw it in the microwave. And I was like, holy shit, a huge pan of lasagna, barely touched, like one piece. So I cut myself a wedge about the size of a cinder block. I sprinkled a little water on it. I threw a napkin on it, and I threw it in the microwave for, 2 minutes. I pulled it out, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I dug into this lasagna. The first bite was just, nothing but cheese and noodles and sauce. Like, this is awesome. Second bite, I get a big hunk of meat, and I'm like, and it's solid. And I'm like, geez, Donnie's mom made like a steak lasagna or something. This is awesome. I bit into it, and my mouth opened up. You ever feed your dog something, like a turnip or something, and it's eating it, and at some point its mouth just opens and whatever it's eating falls out? Like, they just eject it?
Oh, yeah.
I just did the and it just fell out of my mouth, and I was like, oh, what the fuck? And Donnie's like, yeah, that's a special tray that my mom made for my dad. Donnie's dad likes chicken liver lasagna. You want to talk about a fucked up, confused Jew. Putting chicken liver.
Who really got fucked up?
Big chunks of chicken liver. Not shredded up or ground. Big, full,
like,
chicken
liver
in a fucking, baking it into the lasagna. Oh, what a desecration. The Italian Heritage Society should sue your dad for doing that. But anyway,
he was doing it in his own home.
I'd like myself some lasagna. But no, the Corollas never sat down and ate together. Nobody cooked.
This is from Jay Guevara 007.
Mm-hmm.
Hola, Ace Man. I have a question. Who should have kids nowadays? I have a combined income of $125,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and I fear that I cannot afford a single kid. What is your opinion about this?
For anyone can afford a single kid. I mean, let's face it. We all grew up that way. And, we're on welfare and food stamps and we got by. I mean, you can get by. To me, if you have a single kid and times are tight, that's fine. It's when you go octomom, that's when it becomes abuse. When you hear about these guys in the NFL that had 13 brothers and sisters and daddy was a Rolling Stone and they had to work, and they all lived at grandma's house and mama worked three jobs. That's child abuse. That's insane. So the thing about kids is you will figure out a way with your kids. You don't have to worry about it. And the one kid, especially with the over 100 grand a year, no problemo. I give him a big thumbs up.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is from D. Demish. Hey, Ace, when Teresa was having personal problems, you would talk about the perils of being too smart for your own good and how it can hinder you in life situations. I always wanted to hear your answer to the following question. If you could choose to have your kids be either smart and troubled or simple and happy, which would you choose and why?
Well, simple and happy, unless somebody told them I could have made them smart and decided to make them dumb and happy. I mean, the great thing, the reason you're dumb and happy is because you don't know you're dumb. We know you're dumb and happy. You just know you're happy. Nobody walks around going, the reason I'm happy? I'm a fucking idiot. I mean, nobody does that. if they did that, then it would be horrible, and maybe they would cease to be happy. Here's the thing. You know, the world is sort of complex, and I really don't know that there's any correlation between intelligence and happiness. As a matter of fact, I think there is a correlation, and it's going the opposite direction. Some of the smartest guys I know are some of the most miserable guys I know, and how could you not be? Because they're so... Look, if you're aware, I mean, you know, I have a Labrador. She doesn't know anything about Darfur. She doesn't know anything about AIDS. She doesn't know anything about the economy we're living in. She doesn't know anything about global warming. She doesn't know anything about anything. All she knows is she eats her kibble at 4 p.m. and then she gets a walk, and she's happy and surprised each and every day to eat the same goddamn kibble and go on the same goddamn walk, tail wagging, never depressed. So obviously, the brains don't help. What is depressing, what's more depressing is when you're smart and can't figure out to make way to make money, because then you're smart and you have to see a whole bunch of people that aren't your intellectual equal making a whole lot more money than you're making, which sucks. So smart, rich, and miserable is still a lot better than smart, poor, and miserable. But either way, the more aware you are, I mean, eventually you just sort of turn into Howard Hughes. It's sort of like, it's like this. Eating a hot dog is, you know, a hot dog's filled with junk. It's filled with shit. And I can enjoy a hot dog because I'm not that smart. And my dog Molly can enjoy a hot dog because she's not that smart. But if you knew every ingredient to that hot dog, you would not enjoy that hot dog. And smart people know the ingredients of life, and it makes a lot of them miserable. Thank you.
Todd Kaufman asked.
And let me say this. I want to add an addendum to this. Because I see a lot of, and we all see a lot of successful people that are just self-starters and super motivated and not very smart. The smart equaling money, I think that's overrated. Most of the successful people I know just have they have a personal momentum, B, a lot of bravado, C, they work hard, and D, they just go out and get it. And they're actually so dumb to know they're not smart enough to make money, and thus they go out and make the money. So I'd rather my kid be a little on the dumb side, a little on the happy side, and just a motivated self-starter. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Todd Kaufman wants to know.
Oh, and not gay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Todd Kaufman wants to know, aren't you more agnostic than atheist? Check out the definitions. I mean, there has got to be a start to it all. Just not some guy in a cloud with a wand. But something. There was a start. We just don't know what it was. I think you are agnostic, not atheist. Hey, love the podcast, bro. I put that in to make it more conversational.
You put the bro in?
To make it more real.
I think agnostic, at least the definition is there's something out there. It's not a traditional God, and I'm just not aware of it. I don't feel that way at all. I do not believe there's something out there, and I just can't, you know, we just can't define it. I don't think there's anything out there. I just think there's nature. Nature just moves. Nature evolves. Nature...
Are you out of your mind?
Who created this shit?
It is so complex and so vast. I don't know what it is, but it didn't happen by itself.
As a human being, we have to assign a he to everything.
And there we have it, the podcast debut of DFG, Def Frat Guy, from 2009. It was about a month into the podcast before Adam had to have him on the show. And I'm glad we got to listen to that. Now, if you're listening to this show and you have not rated and reviewed this show, please do so. Go to Apple Podcasts and let everybody know what you think of the show. Let Podcast One know what you think of the show. Let Adam Carolla know what you think of the show, because he told me yesterday, Gio, that he listens.
No, no.
But he likes it.
Yeah, I know, but now he won't.
Yeah, that makes me nervous.
I can't take it.
So, just want to thank everybody for hanging out with us. We have such a good time doing it, and we appreciate it. We'll see you next weekend. for Superfan Giovanni, my name's Chris Loxamano. Sam.
Mahalo, and get it on.